The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Original theme music there. That's from our friend Christophan, who operates out of Munich, Germany, a fine young musical composer that I met in all places, the Portuguese island of Madeira in 2016. Got to talking, I said, I did a radio show in the United States. He says, well, I compose music. And I said, would you think about doing original theme music for my radio program? Sure. So that's what it is. It's Christophan. There's a link to what this guy does at buckmastershow.com. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted independent news talk. Bob Dio is on the other side of the glass. He has the lights the way I like them. Mood lighting, very low and dark. I can barely see Bob, just see the shadow. I see he's got a blue shirt on. You are listening. Yeah, light like those people do when they go in the restaurants. It's so dark that they use the device to light the menu. Bob's using that to light up his face. There you go. Nice beard there. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice. For our trusted independent news talk, all of our shows at buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you would like to join the conversation, Paul Cunningham is with us. If you'd like to call in, ask Paul a question or make a comment about the city, 790-2040. A month ago for his monthly visit with us, Paul was seated across from me in our still kind of spanking new studio, but now he's at school because that's what he does. He's a teacher. How is the semester off and running? How's it going, Paul?
I think it's going great. It's been a great year so far, and I'm really excited about this new group of students.
What are you doing? Last year, you were doing social studies.
Believe it or not, this year I switched to PE. I'm teaching PE, and I think it'll be it's a good fit. And I didn't really want to leave my old job, but I wanted to cut down on the commute, or took the Apple in this year. It's a little interesting so far. I don't know, but I'm glad to do it. I'm always excited about it.
Hey, has this green shirt thing been good for Tucson? A lot of people have never heard of Tucson, but they have now, a lot of them, because of that the green shirt guy that went viral.
Say that again? You mean the green shirt guy last week?
Yeah, has this been good for publicity for Tucson?
I think that the response has definitely not been bad. I mean, it doesn't look like... I thought it was an interesting... I think the whole thing was bizarre because it was kind of par for the course for a council meeting. I mean, we've had bigger fireworks than that. I always wondered what a viral moment is like live. So we had this viral moment, and no one would have told. There was no way. Old Dick to me that kept this guy laughing, and all of a sudden there'd be 16 million views on Twitter or something. I just didn't see that one coming at all, because in real time as it happened, it was just kind of like, well, another council meeting in the books and kind of normal.
Well, it kind of made the Tucson City Council look like a three-ring circus. I mean, there were people performing folk songs and this and that. I mean, was this kind of a typical meeting that we saw?
Okay, let's start with Ted and the folk song. Ted Weinberger has been around forever. I think the guy used to tour with the Ted or something. He's a great band. And that same very day, we were signing a endorsement of the nuclear weapon that no man hands give the band nuclear weapon. The anniversary of Hiroshima. So that was what the theme song was about. It was actually very appropriate. I don't think a lot of people, I think that got lost in the whole shuffle. So that it was actually pretty appropriate band song. I mean, it's not, the fact that we were doing that nuclear, we were passing the resolution about the nuclear weapons ban on the anniversary of Hiroshima, and the man came in and sung a song based on a Turkish poem about a Hiroshima survivor. So that totally made sense to me. I didn't even think it was that weird. But I guess from the outside looking in, if you don't know the context of what was going on, I suppose it could be a little out of sorts.
Listen, your cell phone's a little bit funky, so what's going to happen is we're going to have Bob call you back. How would that sound? Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, but so why don't we take the break, and then we will, during the break, we'll call Paul Cunningham back. But before we bring up the music too loud, you know what I want to talk about, Bob. Yeah, it's want to talk
Mona's.
About
Mona's.
Yeah, it's time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, owner and chief baker Steve does such a great job with all of those bakery goods, all those croissants, the brownies. Brownie would be great right now after you have a great sandwich up at Mona's for lunch. But we've been talking a lot about the breakfast that they do, and the menu is terrific. Blueberry pancakes, I love that. Chocolate chip pancakes, always good. Of course, the donuts are fabulous. Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on. Mona's Danish Bakery, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. There's a link to Mona's and a link to all of our great partners on the Buckmaster Show at buckmastershow.com. And again, Mona's website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be back with Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, coming up right after we take the break.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Today is a great day to get away to Silver City, actually, when we've got this heat advisory in effect, 109 to 110 record temperatures in the Tucson area this week and next week, perhaps even more record-breaking temperatures. So the good news is in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, their elevation is about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So thank you, Bob. Actually, Bob Dio, my fine engineer producer, just pulled up the noontime. We'll have to do this more often, Bob. This is a great idea. The noontime temperature in Silver City. It's sunny and 83 degrees. So there you go. I've been saying all along, I always say kind of a rule of thumb, oh, it's at least 10 degrees cooler. Well, this is more than 10 degrees, 83 degrees in Silver City. So that'd be a great place to kind of cool off. So that means the evening temperatures probably down into like, what are they saying in Silver City in the evening? Oh, yes, 62 degrees for the morning lows. So now you're talking. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City. Let's continue now with our conversation. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, on the live line. Big news yesterday, the Rio Nuevo Board, Councilman, approving $65 million improvement plan for the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center. This has been talked about for years. Is this a big deal?
I think it's a big deal in that the Rio Nuevo District is doing what it's designed to do. It's doing exactly what it's designed to do. Part of this goal was to revitalize downtown. Part of it was to give a tool so that we could be successful in activating a significant number of properties, but also taking the Tucson Convention Center, which has long been, it's just long been neglected. It had been long been neglected. We've been putting little bits of capital improvements into it over time. Rio Nuevo has been kind of led the way on that. The arena got a refit, and as a result, we got some extra tenants. It's a much lower burden to the general fund in that regard. And this will even help it and augment it even more. It'll give us an opportunity to attract some larger conventions that come through Tucson. But not only that, everybody's been waiting a long time for the Expo fountains to get repaired. The music hall is the coolest one for me on a personal level, because the music hall, believe it or not, has better acoustics than a lot of different theaters around the country. A lot of people don't know that. It's kind of like this hidden gem, and to get that kind of capital improvement in it will be quite an exciting situation. We're also going to get some things out of Leo Rich. So that whole campus will be significantly augmented. Moreover, we're going to add some adjacent hotel rooms and some meeting space to be able to take that larger convention. I think we've hosted some tremendous events over the past few years. I remember the American Law Enforcement Aviation Association did their convention here one year, and that was pretty neat. And when we talked to some of the convention planners, they said, you know, if you guys had a little bit more meeting space and had a few more hotel doors nearby, you guys would be competing with some of the big guys. So this is our opportunity to do that. And you got to give your hats off to Rio Nuevo and the board and Fletcher and Mark Urban and Edmund and all those people who just worked so hard to make this happen.
The TCC was built in 1971, so it's an aging facility, but it's certainly going to get a facelift. And the current improvement commitments include a full replacement of the arena ice floor and the ice plant. This is quite costly, but it will help and enhance the Tucson Roadrunners, the American Hockey League hockey team, and the University of Arizona Club hockey team. So those are big improvements right there.
Yes, I mean, again, the Roadrunners are our primary tenant. We also have the Sugar Skulls now. There's a few other things. I mean, I'd like to get one extra night of Disney on Ice. I'd like to get I'd love to get a PBR date. We do pretty well on monster trucks. We don't get a really good wrestling date each year. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It's hit or miss. So those are some of the things that I'd like to get
that would help our arena perform a little better. And then, you know, who knows what's next?
What did you say? What was the abbreviation of P what?
PBR is Professional Bull Riders Tour. PBT.
Huh. Huh.
But the Professional Bull Riders, I'd love to have their group come in either concurrent or the week before, week after the rodeo. I think that'd be pretty cool. I think we'd augment our rodeo. But again, that's when the town is really filled up. That's when FC Tucson is here. That's when the Gem Show is here. That used to be when the golf tournament was here. So that we used to crowd a whole bunch of things into those 2 weekends. But it could be something special for us if we were able to add to that.
What are you hearing about the Tucson Sugar Skulls, the professional indoor football team? Was their season considered a success in the people that you've been discussing this with?
Well, no one's going to say that anything failed out loud.
Of course.
I think that arena football is kind of a thing that you've really got to get established. The Arizona Rattlers have been around for almost 30 years. We do give them an opportunity for a nice rival to them. But, you know, we're slowly but surely cultivating Sugar Skulls fans. I went to a couple Sugar Skulls games. There were people there enjoying the game. We came up short as a ball club later in the year, but I think that was partly because of some injuries and some other things. But if they stick it out with Tucson, I think they can be successful. I don't know. I can't speak to their financial situation or anything like that. I just know that I'd say it's been successful. I think it's been good for the TCC, but everybody knows that the Tucson in the summer is a challenge, and you've got to be creative.
Did they sign something? Is it a year-to-year contract, do you know, or what?
So I'll say this. As a councilperson for the city of Tucson, I have received no indication that they will not be back next year.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Or not yet. I haven't received any indication of that yet. That may happen, but I'm still under the impression they're coming back for one more season.
Well, you're a huge sports fan, and I know you're excited about the bowl game moving to New Year's Eve, right?
Well, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
We get a better pick on conferences because we get the MAC. So I think that'll be pretty exciting. That will improve, I think, some attendance and some of the travel pieces. We'll also be able to retain, I think we're retaining, it's either the WAC or the Mountain West, like third or fourth place. I think it's the WAC. If we retain those two, we'll have one group that's going to come out just to get out of the cold, and we'll have one group that's going to come out to because it's easy, because it's close by, like we had with New Mexico State. I think that New Mexico State bowl game, when they played 2 years ago, was really successful.
Yeah,
we had better attendance as a bowl game than almost 16 or 17 other bowls, I think, at that time. So it was a really big deal. It showed that Tucson could make it work. And again, that's Ollie and his team and Ray Desmond. And those guys have just done a tremendous job. They've made that game not just a celebration about, you know, these two football teams or anything like that. They've made it a celebration of Tucson and Arizona of itself. And I think that's what we needed. And, you know, maybe we, you know, they used to be you needed to do everything with a corporate sponsor. I don't know if you do or you don't. I think this is pretty excited. And I love that Nova has partnered with us for the Arizona Bowl. And I think this year will be one of the best bowl games ever if we can get the right two teams here as far as attendance and levitating the excitement of that game.
Paul Cunningham is with us, Tucson City Councilman. In a couple of weeks here, we'll have these electronic scooters buzzing around Tucson. Have you heard anything about when they are supposed to be fired up and ready?
I tried to find out. I was under the impression that some of them would start hitting the road as early as August 1st. Apparently, that isn't the case. I think there's a delay because our bid got challenged, which happens all the time. And so, anyway, there's these two companies, I'm pretty sure they've been announced, that will be putting scooters out probably sometime in the next few weeks. And we'll really get a good understanding of how invasive or how non-invasive they are. We'll really get a good understanding of whether they are a convenience or not. And as we go through that process, we have put a significant number of rules and measures into place in our current agreement with these two users that if it is not working for Tucson, then they're going to pull them off the street. And we wanted to protect ourselves because there were some areas that they just got dumped on. The history of these things goes back about 3 or 4 years. And like, for instance, a place like San Diego, California, they just showed up. Like 10,000 of them just showed up in a matter of weeks. And there was no ordinance. There was no governing body. There was no working law, nothing. So we tried to put some precautionary measures in place with our agreement, ensure that it worked for Tucson, ensure we got some financial piece of what we were doing, considering some of the risks and all that. And I got to say, I think they're a hoot. I've been on them a couple times. I think they're pretty interesting. But that being said, it does present some challenges, and it, you know, it just has to be the right fit. You go through the cities, and you'll talk to 20 different people, and 20 different people from that same city will give a different story. So imagine when you get to talking to 20 different people from 20 different cities, it's an amazing discussion because you'll hear from the same person will say, well, it really sucks because there were four of them on the sidewalk when I was tossing the street, but then two nights later, I used one to go cruise by the Lincoln Memorial, and it was awesome. So it's a tale of, it depends on the mood you're in. I don't know. It's just hard to gauge truly whether or not it is a burden or an augmentation or both or either. I have met multiple people who say this is the worst idea that they've ever seen. And I've met multiple people who say, this is so cool. I can't believe we're getting them. I'm so glad. I was wondering when they're coming. So let's just see kind of what happens. I know some people aren't very excited, but you know, a lot of times I get in this job and anytime you want to really do anything, not everybody really gets excited. I mean, you want to fix a road and widen a road. You get a lot of, somebody wants to build a shopping center. You get a lot of resistance. And by the way, a lot of times that's founded. I mean, right now we have a negative amount of, we have a major surplus of retail space right now. So I can understand those things, but at the same time, we do want to improve traffic and we do want to give more, we do want to improve traffic. We want to give more options for people as far as getting around. And these scooters provide that option. And if they're a disaster, I'll leave the parade to get them out of there. But again, there was a guy in the late 60s, early 70s, and Jerry Rubin, who said he'd try anything once. And I don't know if I want to go that far, but
everything once. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd really want to go that far with it, but I am willing to try stuff.
All right. We'll let you get back to school. Your lunch hour is just about over. They give you about a half hour and you need to get back to the classroom. Paul Cunningham, hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. Have a great day.
All right. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, calling us from school, where he is teaching PE. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by my favorite Green Things, favorite place for all things green, over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. It's a destination now in itself, not just for all of the gardening supplies, but Zocalo is there. For years, Zocalo, what a great reputation this company had over at Broadway and Country Club area. Well, they're part of the Green Things family. They're at the Green Things site now, and they have five shops, and it's called Zocalo Village. So you can get all of your great hand-crafted, in many cases, this beautiful furniture that's all hand-done and from Mexico and Latin America and Europe. Jan and Jack, the owners, are very careful about what they put at their site, and they're very picky. I mean, they do these, Jan does these buying trips down to Mexico, and she comes back with all of these great treasures. So check it out. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Lots more to come. I'll tell you, you know, these big rigs and these drivers for these huge trucks, I'm always in awe, Bob Dio, of how they turn and get into these little places. Well, Missy Blair is up with me next. We're going to talk about driving these big rigs and what's going on at Pima Community College to teach people about a future and driving these big trucks. And I'll tell you, if you can do that, there's a future for you, and you're going to make a lot of money. We'll tell you about that later, right after the break, on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, FlowersRieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Today we resume our monthly interview series with Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators at PCC. Today we talk with Missy Blair. Missy's with me in studio. She is the program manager over the Pima Transportation Program, including this fall's new program featuring autonomous truck driving, which will help kind of help folks gear up and become skilled, experienced truck drivers so they can be marketable and for jobs in that sector. Missy Blair was recently named one of the top women to watch in transportation by the Women in Trucking Association. Missy, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. You too. I sound so important by that bio.
Hey, don't give yourself credit there. You're a mover and shaker in this industry. And I'll tell you, as I was saying before the break, this is an industry that if folks are interested, there are opportunities galore, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about why Pima even created this new program.
So there's some, I don't want to bore your listeners with too many stats, but there's some really fascinating stats that the World Economic Forum tells us. Today's first graders, 65% of them will be in jobs that don't exist today.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's not that far off,
no,
right?
No.
Also, 1 in 3 Americans by 2030 will have to reskill or find a new career.
Mm-hmm.
So we really consider it our role. I'm really excited to be a part of the college these days where we're being proactive about that and not sitting on our laurels about being able to help the community with those challenges. Because it is, that's not that far away. So we want to be able to help with that.
When you decided we're going to go ahead and create this program, what were some of the nuts and bolts of the areas that you wanted to include in that, Missy?
So what we have, we're basically creating a program for a job that doesn't exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had to really work closely with business and industry. So Too Simple, who's now here in town, of course,
mm-hmm.
We worked very closely with them. They initially addressed Ian Rourke, our vice president of workforce.
He's terrific. We've had him on the show. Ian does a great job. So, and folks that don't know about Too Simple, could you explain that? Who
sure.
are they?
They are an autonomous trucking company. They're based out of San Diego. They do have an office here in Tucson, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking, I believe, to get 200 trucks by 2019. They may be a little bit off on that, but I know mm-hmm. they're really gearing up to have a presence here in town for the autonomous vehicles. I did just read today that they have been invested in by UPS also. So that's really exciting news for them. So we're really excited for them.
I'm fascinated with this whole area of the autonomous truck and for that matter, the autonomous car. I know it's coming, but I have a lot of questions about it. And like kind of an obvious question, if it's autonomous, Missy, Why do you need a driver? Maybe you can go into that.
That's not the first time we've had the question. It's a good question.
Okay.
So it's progression, right? I think Too Simple's being really smart about mm-hmm. their strategy with that in terms of safety and how they want to make sure they do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to just take a person out of the driver or out of the truck right away, right?
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're right now they have two people in the truck, and with progression they want to have, you know, one driver, and then not to speak for them too much, but I think they're looking, of course, at having driver out eventually. Mm-hmm. So what we want to be able to do is keep the driver relevant for as long as we can and eventually upskill them so that they will remain.
Now, I've seen your truck around town.
Our truck?
Yeah, the Pima truck is out there.
That's good news.
Now, is that an autonomous truck?
Our truck is not autonomous,
okay.
No. The students probably wish it were autonomous, but
it is
not.
That is a truck for learning, right?
Correct.
And that's for people that want to become commercial, have a commercial driver's license.
Yes, sir. So Class A, that's what we use for the semi. That's mm-hmm. a Class A vehicle. And that one's a standard, not automatic, et cetera. So it's when it's out there, they're ready to be out there when they're out there. So don't be too scared.
Yeah.
but we're excited about being able to not only help with the AV program, but to initially skill people with the Class A CDL also.
And what I have nothing but admiration for some of these truck drivers that I have seen just do these incredible feats. They make these turns in these huge trucks and they're able to back them into what seems like just an impossible space. Did you go through the program yourself?
I did.
To get the commercial driver's license.
I did. I didn't feel like I could manage the program without having my Class A. So much to the delight of our staff, I did go through the program.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a little bit of a chance to torture me a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, I will tell you, though, I've been through a bachelor's degree and it was tough. It was not something that just came easily. It was I did 10 weeks at night. And it was a long day at work. And then I give credit to anyone who does the CTE programs because it's hard to do that when you're working and then also go through the skills for the career and technical education as well.
So this is a business that is in transition.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, the autonomous trucks and who knows when all of that will become kind of standard. But we're at a transition point. Are there still all sorts of opportunities for commercial truck drivers?
Absolutely. You can go and, you know, look in the job listings. There's all kinds of opportunities for Class A, Class B, going over the road and making money and seeing the country while getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a need. We still have to have things delivered to our stores so we can wear it and sit on it and, you know, our furniture,
sure.
et cetera. So things still need to get delivered and we need to be able to. I mean, if we didn't have truck drivers, the country would basically shut down in about a week's time frame.
And look at Amazon. Look what they're doing now with all of their trucks that are all over town. Yeah. I don't know how all that's working out, competing with UPS and all that, but I'm sure there is a transition going on there.
Yeah, like I said, there's opportunities galore, which is, I'm glad that we're at the forefront to be able to help with the industry with that.
So who would be an ideal candidate for your program? Can you kind of give us a thumbnail sketch about people that might think this might be a great career?
Sure. So for the actual certificate program, they should have their CDL already, so they're Class A.
Okay.
So they should have that.
They should have their commercial driver's license, and you said Class A?
Right. That's okay. the tractor-trailer class.
Okay.
They should have it for at least 3 years.
Okay.
That's for the certificate program itself. So if they want to have the certificate, they should do that. But the classes that we have within the program, which is exciting for us, it's different, is it's multidisciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different classes from different fields in this program. So they don't have to have the CDL to take, for example, an introduction to autonomous vehicles class. If they want to take that, it's perfectly fine. They don't have to have their CDL to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the exciting. It's been different for us and a bit innovative to have the different disciplines in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make it available to anyone, not just those with the CDL program.
Too Simple's been running some big trucks, haven't they, doing some tests?
Yes.
Out on the interstate and stuff. How far along is all of that?
I don't want to speak too much
for Too Simple. I'm just generally, maybe Missy Blair, you can tell us about the autonomous truck, this transition. How far along is it?
Right. So they've ran with the USPS already. They've done tests. I don't know that they've put the report out on that yet.
Uh-huh.
But they have had the tests with them. And like I said, they've just been invested, UPS just invested with them, just announced today. So they're far enough along where they're getting investors of some pretty high caliber. So that's exciting for them.
Wow. And I think there's this, it's going to take a while for the public to accept, Missy, this whole thing about that you see a big truck. Bob, see a big truck. Yeah, right. Where's the driver, right?
Right.
I mean, you come up alongside a big truck, and there's like, where's the driver of that thing? And there's no driver. People are going to, it's going to take a little bit of a learning curve.
Right.
They're thinking, what the heck is going on?
That's right. Yeah. And that's Too Simple, of course, is very aware of that. And that's where I think their strategy is very smart with how they're preparing the workforce for it and the public.
Are your classes at different hours of the day for those that maybe work during the day?
There are. The different disciplines also have them during different days and times. The new class introduction to autonomous vehicles, we have it running once right now just because it is early, but we've scheduled it in the evenings on purpose.
Okay.
So that people are, if they're working, they can attend.
Yeah.
And then we're looking this semester to get it ready to go online next semester because, let's face it, truck drivers are out there on the road and they want to be able to take it online. So we're moving toward that rapidly.
So it must be fascinating. That course sounds kind of interesting, that introduction to autonomous trucks. I'm just curious, like, what kind of they must have a lot of electronics, right, in the cab of the truck. I mean.
And we did, we set the class so that it's not just toward the trucks,
right.
But the ones that are teaching it are the staff will be from Too Simple. So it's going to be a really fascinating class.
Yeah.
I actually want to take it myself.
Right.
But one of the things that we found while working with them is that it's not so much about the mechanics of the truck, but more about the sensors and drivers being able to have the language that if they're having an issue with the electronics or the sensors, that they need to be able to talk that language when they're phoning home, for example, so to speak.
This is a great relationship with Too Simple and Pima Community College, just a natural. Missy, so it's been a pleasure talking with you. Missy Blair, Program Manager for the Pima Transportation Programs, so much going on over there. Missy, what would be a good way for folks who are listening that would like more information? What would you suggest?
They can give us a call at 206-2744.
Uh-huh.
We just started registration yesterday, so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a website. If they just Google autonomous program PIMA, it should come up on on the website.
So the pima.edu, there's probably somewhere there on the website.
It
also,
is, yes.
It's there available.
It is on there,
all
absolutely.
Right. Missy Blair, a pleasure. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Fascinating area of transportation as we kind of transitioning to these autonomous vehicles. Lots going to be coming along on that. All right, it's Buckmaster on 1030, the Voice Trusted News Talk, your source here in Southern Arizona. Coming up next, Tucson's getting ready to celebrate 244th birthday. A couple of free celebrations next week, and Ken Scoville, our resident historian of the Buckmaster Show, will tell us all about it after we take a break.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are pushing toward 10 minutes towards 1 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon on 1030, The Voice, trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Always a pleasure to welcome one of our two dozen or so. We've kind of expanded it. I think we're up to about maybe 27 or 8 regular contributors. So proud to have these people on board. And Ken Scoville is our historian. Ken, it's always a pleasure to see you. And usually this time of year, we point toward Tucson's birthday. And this year, we're talking about 244 years.
Yes, I was thinking the first time I got involved with one was maybe about the 217th birthday. So,
well, you know, first of all, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
One of the things people think about when they, you know, back east, you think the Southwest, the Sun Belt, young community, young cities. Yeah. But Tucson really doesn't fit that mold. Tucson, Arizona Well, first of all, there have been people living here, I guess, for thousands of years.
Right. If we go back along the Santa Cruz, 4,000 years is sort of the date people have come.
Yeah, but we're still, even as a city, when we date back to kind of Presidio days, we're one of the older communities in the United States.
Right. And I brought a couple of quotes to share. And this is one from Mr. Sonicson, who wrote an epic book on the history of Tucson. 4 months after Paul Revere mounted his borrowed horse and sat out on his famous midnight ride, Tucson, Arizona was founded. The date was August 20th, 1775. Oh. So two different worlds.
Yeah,
when we think about the colonial history and the revolution and all that, this was Spain and things were just going on as usual.
Yeah, and there was a presidio here. These were regulars, troops from Spain.
Right, not the happiest position maybe.
No, maybe not the happiest, but we have... quite a few families here in Tucson, Arizona.
Descendants back to the Presidio.
And one that comes to mind is Pima County Supervisor's Chair Richard Elias. His family goes all the way back to the military days at the founding of the Presidio.
Oh, yes. And that, I think, is one of the reasons we have still a great depth and memory in Tucson about the traditions and our founding and what's gone on to make us a community.
Do we have any early memories that folks had written down about some of the early days of Tucson?
Well, this is one of the quotes a lot of historians and people use at different times, and this is from a gentleman that was born. I'll read the quote. Mm-hmm. I was born inside the walled city of Tucson, January 14th, 1850. Now, this would be when this was part of Mexico. Our house was a little one and stood where this new city hall now stands. My father was Isidoro Gallego. The adobe walls about the city were 6 feet high and 2 feet thick. There was an entrance facing west, somewhat back of the present city hall. And he's referencing the 1917 city hall, which was actually pretty close to our existing city hall.
But it's fascinating to think that there were these 6 foot high adobe walls. And he says the entrance was facing west. So that would be toward
Alameda and Maine.
But
facing
in that toward like that A Mountain direction.
Right,
and you can kind of picture that like that. So, you know, this was the frontier in many ways, but in other ways, as we pointed out, you had people from Europe, Spanish people.
A great melting pot. Of immigrants.
Coming
in there for all different eras and times. And,
yeah.
And this is a place where you could call home in the desert.
In many ways, we are prisoners of our geography, aren't we, Ken?
Yes, that was my other quote that I brought in. It's an excellent book by Tim Marshall. And I think, just as what, are we going to be 109 today?
Yeah, maybe 110.
This is very relevant. The land on which we live has always shaped us. It has shaped the wars, the powers, politics, and social development of the peoples that now inhabit nearly every part of the earth. Technology may seem to overcome the distances between us in both mental and physical space, but it is easy to forget that the land where we live, work, raise our children is hugely important, and that the choices of those who lead the 7 billion inhabitants of this planet will to some degree always be shaped by the rivers, mountains, deserts, lakes, and seas that constrain all of us, as they always have.
Yeah, we're
hiding out today because of the heat.
We are.
We're always thinking about water, and the reality of we haven't had as good a rain for the monsoon. We caught up a little bit, but that geography and where we are is always going to impact us.
We've got two celebrations. These are the two free events, August 18th next week, the Tucson Presidio birthday, and then we've got one August 20th. That, I think, let's see, is the 20th, Tuesday. The 20th. That's kind of the official city.
Well, we're having a melding, what the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission,
right,
and they're still involved, that this is where the gathering's always been at the Presidio Museum the last few years. I think it's going to start just before 5 o'clock on Tuesday. Really a celebration of music and cultures this year. And there's going to be birthday and all of that.
Yeah, we've got, getting underway about 4:30 and running till 8:30, and that's at the Presidio, and that's at 196 North Court. That one is Tuesday. Are you doing a talk or what?
I'm going to probably do, if anybody afterwards, I'll give a, and it cools down relatively, I'll give them a little, I'm going to have an iPad sort of light up at night a little bit, and we'll do a little walk around the Presidio and tell people a few of the some of the archaeology and some of the discoveries that we've made.
And then we have the birthday party this weekend. So the one we were just talking about is Tuesday.
On the actual birthday, Sunday is the one at the train station.
Yeah, that's Sunday, August 18th. And the train, of course, as we've talked about so many times with Ken Scoville, is kind of the seminal moment here for Tucson. Yeah.
But again, we're celebrating all the different cultures and people. So I always like to think when the birthday comes around again, we're really celebrating all the cultures and people that decided to call this home on the desert.
Mm-hmm. We should also point out that that is at the Transportation Museum downtown. Maynard's Market and Kitchen. They're going to be having a special menu down there at the, that's right next door to the Amtrak lobby. That event, Ken, is from noon to 4 on Sunday afternoon.
Right. If you want to get a little early for the music, that begins at 11:30.
11:30. So 244 years. And that is, when we talk about 244 years, we're talking about when the first European settlement came through. Were there other settlements beside the Presidio that were close by?
Well, the other thing, and we still always talk about mission gardens, where they've recreated. So there was a mission community actually a little, maybe 20 years before the Presidio, and realizing we had a Presidio down in Tubac, and that they would move up in 1776, mm-hmm. and where we were established in 1775. But the soldiers really didn't come up until 1776. Another irony that I point out to sometimes when I'm doing a walk, mm-hmm. there's a little marker by the DAR that was put in Tucson in 1926 right next to City Hall. And it says that we were founded in 1776. Mm. So the date is wrong. The DAR got their date wrong. They were thinking about when the soldiers came up, but we were really established. So that's why I always say to students and all the tours I've done, I said, make sure you verify your sources. Look for three different sources before you can.
And that was a plaque from the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Russian. It's right in front of City Hall. Nobody sees it except people like me.
Yeah.
And it actually has the wrong founding date on it.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's just a little...
So the soldiers came a year later?
In 1776. The site was established. Oh, yeah, they weren't all there waiting there.
No, no, no.
They came up in 1776.
And Hugo O'Connor, the Irishman, he was in that advance party, right?
Yes, he was out. He was sort of like, I always like to say, the person's looking for new sites for McDonald's. He was looking for suitable areas to establish another Presidio. He did this on several locations, and he wanted the high ground, close to water, pasture to grow things, and this was the place.
Mm-hmm. But you say high ground.
Well, if you get over where the Tucson Museum of Art is today, and you can, and Main Avenue, that's what's called the high bench land, and that's mm-hmm. where we had our first pathway through Tucson right in front. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want to be down the floodplain. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be elevated because of the flood issues, but also be up high for Sentinel Peak to signal back to the soldiers.
Were there problems with Native people at the time?
Well, Native people?
Well,
later
there were the Apaches.
Well, the Apaches were an issue even when they were.
They were?
Oh, yeah, they were at that time. But see, the Apaches didn't even make friends with some of the other more settled natives that were in the area. So they wanted to help out because they wanted some protection, too.
All right, Kent Scoville. Two celebrations coming up Sunday. Noon getting underway at the Transportation Museum. And then, of course, Tucson's birthday celebration, 5 o'clock. Ken will be down there and helping out.
And one
Tuesday.
Real quickly, Ken. Real quick plug, on this Saturday at Tohonatchil Park in the Education Building, I'll be doing a talk on why Tucson's called the Old Pueblo in the history of Tucson.
Oh, really? And that's at Tohonatchil
Park in the Education Building. You could register for it online still. That'll be from 10 to 11.
All right. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Bill Buckmaster saying, have a good one.